Welcome to Shouts of Grace Radio, practical conversations from God's Word, hosted by Pastor Steve Pearson of Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain, Utah. At Shouts of Grace Radio, it's our purpose to encourage you to see the Bible as God's source of truth for everyday life and grace as the foundation for a genuine relationship with God. Now, let's join Pastor Steve for today's conversation.
Hey, welcome back to the program. We are super blessed that you have taken some time out of your day to join us. As always, we want to welcome any new listeners. And if this is your first time listening, we want to let you know that we have a website for you to enjoy where we have 5 years worth of episodes, plus 200 or so. You can go on to shoutsofgraceradio.com. And at shoutsofgraceradio.com, you can tap into a number of topics, things that are things that we've done where we've had, issues in the world that maybe we're talking about from a biblical worldview, a lot of dissecting certain scriptures or topics in light of God's word. And so that's for your enjoyment at shoutsofgraceradio.com. And if you are a return listener, we want to say welcome and thank you for your ears and your support. And as always, we want to give a shout out to Key Radio for the use of their studios here in Provo, Utah. As you know, if you've joined us before, we have different guests each week. A lot of times they're pastors or church leaders, sometimes from ministries here in Utah, sometimes many times from out of state, and sometimes internationally. And so we like to just kind of mix it up a little bit. And so today, we have a special guest actually in studio, and her name is Jaylene. Jaylene, share your full name, and then what I want you to do is kind of share with our listeners a little bit about what you do, because this is a little unique topic for us. We have never done this part before, and I invited you on because when we spoke, I really liked the ministry that you guys were involved in, and particularly close to my heart was just this this ministry that entailed a lot of compassion. But anyways, let people know who you are, kind of the organization and what you guys basically do before we kind of jump into everything.
Sure. My name is Jaylene Stoner, and I am with 180 Ministries. We are an Adult Teen Challenge accredited residential rehabilitation center in Tooele, Utah.
So when you say rehabilitation center, we're talking about, you know, is it a particular focus or just all walks of life and everything that happens in life? What is that?
Yeah, so we are a Christ-centered discipleship program. We are not a medical facility, but we address the issues of substance abuse and other life-controlling issues that women face. We serve adult women population. It's a long-term residential program. So our program runs from 9 to 12 months, and our curriculum is designed to dig to the root cause of addiction or that life-controlling issue that's bringing them into our center.
So when women come in, do they understand? Well, let me ask you this. Is it for Christians, if for non-Christians? And if it is for Christians, how do you disciple them? If it's for non-Christians, what's the aim and the goal of the program? Mm-hmm.
So the ideal student in our program is someone that is seeking a faith-based rehab. They do not have to already be a believer to come into our program. The curriculum that they go through with the Teen Challenge curriculum really digs into building their relationship with God, who God is. It digs into salvation. It digs into the root cause of their issues. So we can take women that are believers or not believers. It's just a matter of if they're looking for that faith-based approach. Many times women have come to the end of themselves to going to different medical facilities over and over in these 30-day places and 60 days, 90 days, and still finding themselves back in that same thing because it's behavior modification. And that's not the key of what we do. We believe in the transformative power of Jesus Christ.
So if I'm coming in, let's say somebody's listening and, you know, they've tried everything you said. They've gone to these, you know, these 12 steps or these different things that have tried to, you know, will their way to freedom in whatever it is that they're dealing with. If they come and they walk through, and let's say they're not a believer, they're not a believer in Jesus, and they come and they walk through your doors, what emphasis do you guys put on first things first? Like, is this they can sit and they can learn about how God would deal with things, or is this they would sit and learn, they would walk away with the knowledge that, man, there is a need for me to embrace Jesus as a person for my wellness?
Yes. So one of the things that they would feel first upon walking through the doors, really, is that we take great honor in being the hands and feet of Christ. And so being able to feel that love of God through in a tangible way, through interacting with them and being their people in their circle, that really softens them to, if they're not a believer, they're wondering, like, what is this? Because it's that wow factor of the love of God.
Yeah. Would they have that opportunity to come to Christ and embrace Christ in your program if they came to find out that they weren't?
Absolutely. We just had 3 students get water baptized a few weeks ago.
Very cool. So. Very cool. So, you know, obviously doing something like this, you have a passion for it, you know. What kind of led you in this direction? Because what I want to do is, in a moment, I want to segue into just the compassion side to this that is so part of Jesus's heart towards people, in this case, you know, women. But what moved you towards this? Because everybody's, you know, if you have a passion for something, you're going to do something. Usually there's something that drove you there.
Yeah, absolutely. God has really worked a miracle in my life, and it's an honor to be in this position to be able to afford women the opportunity to dig deep within their heart and remove all those other things that we've put on the throne of our heart and put Jesus there. In my personal life, I was raised in a cult, and I was kicked out of that cult, and I was trying to find, what is this thing that other people are talking about when they say they have a relationship with Christ? And I was just checking off the list, trying to be a good girl, and never knew about a relationship with Christ. And so I came from a history of abuse in both my childhood and my adult life. And I set out on a journey to find Jesus, and He found me, and the word says that those who seek me will find me, and He has completely, totally restored my life, and I consider it a great honor to be able to give women this same opportunity to put a pause on their life and to be able to remove everything from their life, whether they struggle with substance abuse, codependency, eating disorders, sex trafficking, whatever it is, depression, anxiety, PTSD, and be able to find that restorative healing power of Jesus Christ and build that relationship, because we're giving them something tangible that they can take into any situation that can't be taken away from them.
Mm. You mentioned a number of things there. I think it's interesting, because if I hear you correctly, all these things, from eating disorders to different things that are physical, it sounds like you guys are saying that, look, we're acknowledging there's a physical thing, codependency and addiction, but there's a spiritual side to this that people have to know if they're going to get the help that's different from the 12-step program or the self-help. Is that, am I right?
Yeah, it's that God-shaped hole, that there's nothing else that's filling that space aside from building that relationship with God and experiencing His love first, so that we can give it out to others and use our pain to propel us into our purpose.
Yeah. So when you say relationship with God, because a lot of listeners might listen to that and they might go, oh yeah, well, you know, I know God, the big man upstairs or whatever. What do you mean? What do you teach the women, as opposed to, you know, like I can go onto somebody's Facebook or somebody's social media and I can learn all about them. I can learn about who their family members are, where they, you know, what their dog's name is, what they ate, you know, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, where they went to, you know, on vacation, you name it, right? But I don't know them. I've never met them. I'm just reading about them, right? So when you say, you know, a relationship with Jesus, what do you share with them that takes them from this place that they're at, and the difference between the place that they're at to the place you want to bring them that brings that restoration?
I would say first, we really focus on what their true identity is. and how to identify the lies that have probably been confirmed through human relationships, the lies of the enemy, and being able to identify those lies and be able to replace that with truth and really work on what their true identity is. And then segueing into the character of God, the building on the character of God and getting to know God for who he is, not necessarily his hand, but seeking his face and knowing his who he is and his characteristics. And then using what they're learning and standing in their identity and knowing who God is and the character of God, then using their testimony and their story to see how God has weaved in and through their life and will continue to lead and guide them. So then they're pressing into building that relationship and hearing God's voice and allowing him to lead, guide, and direct them as the good father that he is.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, you probably get a lot of women from a lot of different backgrounds, you know, and their lives are inundated with, you know, both victimhood and being a perpetrator in some respects, you know. So there's a lot of sin. There's probably a lot of sin in their life, a lot of sin that was done to them. And anytime, you know, we're you know, victims of somebody else's sin, we can almost develop, you know, this kind of rough exterior that doesn't let anybody in, and particularly God, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if God's a God of love, how yeah. in the world could he allow this to happen to me, right? And so I'm sure, you know, that when you guys bring somebody new in, there's almost like this, you know, kind of barrier that you might have to crack, maybe? I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, there definitely is. And there's all different walks of life, like you said, from the victim to the ones that are really closed off and hard and harsh. And I feel like we do a phenomenal job and the staff does a phenomenal job because we are with them all the time, 24/7. They're with staff and we're really building relationship. They're seeing us day in and day out. They're seeing us in their hard times. Let's say there's some behaviors that exist and how we approach those behaviors in love and discipline and with our structure. And it starts building trust and being vulnerable. I myself will be very vulnerable with our students and share about my life. And that opens up that doorway to build relationship with a woman that is hurt or fragile or hardened, and being real and walking and actually really doing life with these ladies.
I want to, we're going to take a short break, and then on the other side of the break, I want to come back and I want to talk about, this compassion side, to what you do, because it's really close to Jesus's heart. And you see this a couple times, real, you know, evidently in the New Testament. So on the other side of the break, we'll come back and we'll deal with that. You're listening to Shouts of Grace. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Shouts of Grace, the radio ministry of Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain, Utah. For more information about Redemption Hill or Pastor Steve, visit our website at rhutah.church. Shouts of Grace Radio is thankful for the encouragement from Key Radio, reaching Utah with the good news of eternal life from their station in Provo, Utah. Now, let's join Pastor Steve for the conclusion of today's broadcast.
Hey, welcome back to the program. I am in studio today with, I'm going to call you a young woman because I'm older than you, but someone who's experienced in life, it's Jaylene, right?
Jaylene,
and yes. The organization is
180 Ministries.
180 Ministries, yes. And so we were talking on the other side of the break about just what 180 Ministries does and how they're kind of really just showing compassion and the love of Christ, the hands and the feet to women who've had a hard time, you know, and they've gone through some speed bumps in life, and they're coming to you guys for help, and you guys are given, you know, like what the Apostle Paul said. I love what he said. He said, you know, we didn't just give you the gospel, we gave you our very life. And I think when we talk about discipleship, you know, we can be people, we can be a church, we can be a program that just gives information, right? Where we're informative and we're telling you, you need to stop doing this, you need to be better, and you need to, you know, and here's some ways you can clean yourself up. You know, when you think this, don't do this, right? We could do that. But I think what the Apostle Paul says is we've given you our very life. In other words, we've, just like what you said, we are just like you. And I love what Scripture says in 2 Corinthians, when it says that we comfort others with the same comfort that we've been given. It sounds like from what you had said, Jolene, that you came from, kind of a, you know, some victim, you know, hood in a lot of your life. And so now God's able to use you to give back. That's Christianity, folks. That's how that works, regardless of, you know, what background you come from. But what I wanted to touch on right now is, you know, there's compassion that many times, a lot of times the church doesn't really distribute very well, you know, or Christians aren't taught to distribute it. And, you know, one of the things I'm thinking of is you know, the woman in Luke chapter 7 who comes into a room on her hands and knees and interrupts a lunch that Jesus is having with a bunch of Pharisees. And the Pharisees, the religious people, the churchgoers, however you want to call it, they look at this woman and they're like, man, you know, if this guy were a prophet, he would know what type of woman this is that was touching him, you know. And then Jesus turns to them and he says, you know, when I came into your home, you didn't give me any water. You didn't wash my feet. You didn't. But this woman hasn't stopped washing my feet with her tears, you know, since I came in. And then he says to them, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. And he turns to the lady and he says the same thing, right? And you see this bomb drop inside this Pharisee's room, like, good gracious, you know, this guy has a compassion that we never even thought of, right? Or the woman in John 8, like, we just look at her as an adulteress, right? She's an adulterous woman, and she was caught, and so now let's stone her, right? There's your religious community for you. Let's just kill her because she broke the law. And Jesus, of course, writes in the sand. He dismisses all the accusers. He asks her, you know, where are your accusers? I have none. But here's what we don't often realize, Jolene, and I want you to talk about this, is both the woman in Luke 7 that got no compassion from the religious people, and the woman in John chapter 8 who was caught in adultery, who had no compassion, they had stories in their life, right? I mean, if I were to tell you, you know, hey, the woman caught in adultery, and I were to impose for a second and say, you know, she had five husbands. The first one cheated on her, right? The second one beat her. The third one, you know, just ignored her, right? The fourth one, she put on some LBs and called her fat and just tortured her in her mind. And now she's with this fifth one who shows her love, and you know, it's the first time in her life where she feels like, but he's married. It's like, stories do matter, don't they? I mean, I know it's not, it doesn't keep us from telling the truth, but don't stories matter when it comes to showing compassion? Or is every situation dealt with people transactionally?
I would definitely agree with you that stories matter. And shame is the number one driving force of addiction. And when a student comes into our program and being able to open up and share the things that she's experienced in her life without judgment and with open arms and with love and with care, it really, really starts to break down those things in a woman that feels all that shame. And in that place of shame, the enemy just takes them further than they want to go and keeps them farther than they want, longer than they want to stay. And breaking down those walls of shame and condemnation and letting them know that they're not alone and that we're here for them and that we all have stories too, and that God uses your mess to make into your message is really key, I think.
Yeah. So when somebody comes to you guys, is it more of a transactional thing, or do you guys look at their individual, you know, stories and say, okay, how does the Lord speak into that specific thing? Like, how would you guys, you know, if you have a woman who's experienced, you know, say, you know, emotional abuse, someone who's experienced, you know, an eating disorder, whatever, how do you guys, what's the goal that you want to get them to?
Mm-hmm. So, one of the big things on the application they fill out, it dives into their history so that we do learn a lot about them before they even come in. Our staff is praying for every single woman that comes through our doors, and each woman that is in our program gets a catered to them program. So there's certain things that are just streamlined in the program, but each, when it gets down to digging through the different things that they are personally struggling with, it's custom made for them, and God often puts on my heart and our academic teacher's heart, what's the next book that this particular student needs to read? So it's not everyone is getting the same group study through the Teen Challenge curriculum, but everyone also works through personal contracts, and that's where we're targeting in the personal contracts, where we're targeting from the academic approach of the program, the specific things that they have personally experienced and what they need to work on and where God is taking them next.
So it sounds like from what you said there that it is spirit led.
Yes.
It's some, okay. That's huge, because otherwise you've got just this, you know, God who's far away and just tells everybody do the same thing. And just, you know, hopefully you'll end up in the same place called being healed.
Right.
But it sounds like you guys are actually taking the person and what they've gone through and ministering to that.
Yes. Each person is unique and everything they come from is unique. So we can't do the same thing with every person.
I would love to hear. I mean, obviously you don't have to go with names and every single detail for radio, but I would imagine you've been doing this for how long?
The program has been around for over 20 years.
Okay. So besides your personal story, I would imagine that you probably have, you know, two or three just incredible faith success stories that have mm-hmm. come out, and it's just mind blowing. I'd love for you to share those in the little time we have left.
Okay. So we have one student that is actually 73, and some would think that they're too set in their ways and there's, you know, it's too late. This student is such an inspiration and has completely changed, came in struggling with substance abuse, has accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior, has gotten water baptized, and is now working towards the final leg of her program and looking into going into traveling ministry.
73. That is incredible. We just baptized an 85-year-old at our church. He's been a believer for 5 years, about 4 months ago. So you're never too old to turn it around and experience mm-hmm. redemption. What's one of the, besides her, what would be another one you could say, man, I didn't know if this one was going to work out, but God got a hold of this girl and just changed everything.
So we've got another student that just popped into my mind that she actually was struggling with some spiritual practices that were not of God. And I wondered, you know, like, wow, how's this going to work with the things she was bringing into the program? And I know our God is bigger and stronger, but she was convicted right away, was open to the approach, and has gotten rid of different jewelry and things that she wore that were spiritistic and based with spiritual rituals, and has accepted Jesus and got water baptized.
Wow, that's amazing. So I didn't even think about that part. I mean, you guys probably have people that are coming in with, like, you know, I mean, everything's a spiritual issue, but you got, you know, the more you open yourself up to certain vices, you know, the more that you're inviting, you know, a realm that we're not, you know, privy to exactly. Mm-hmm. And those are strongholds. And mm-hmm. so you guys, it sounds like you guys are kind of delving into a lot of issues when it comes to that.
Very much so.
Wow. Well, we are just about out of time for this episode. So maybe what you could do is just, in the last, you know, 15, 20 seconds, tell us the program, how they could get in touch with you. If somebody's listening and they have somebody that this would pertain to.
Sure. 180ministries.net is our website. You can see the information and gather a lot of information there. Apply online. You've got our contact information on there as well. We do serve 18 years and older, so anywhere from 18 to however late in life that they want to come into our program. And we are also on Facebook, 180 Ministries Women, Utah.
Awesome. Well, we're out of time. Thanks, Jalene. I appreciate it. This has been great. If you can be helped by this, we encourage you guys to go to that website. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Shouts of Grace Radio with Pastor Steve Pearson. We hope that you've been encouraged to see the Bible as God's source of truth for everyday life and grace as the foundation for a genuine relationship with God. If you've been encouraged in your journey following and learning more about Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can visit us online at shoutsofgraceradio.com. At shoutsofgraceradio.com, you can listen to all of our episodes, share them online with your friends, and find out more about Pastor Steve. Shouts of Grace is an outreach of Redemption Hill Church in Eagle Mountain, Utah. Thank you again for joining us on today's show. And from all of us at Shouts of Grace, it is our prayer that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ.